As I was saying, when the spring thaws come, the snow would soften up, the roads would all break up. You couldn't hold your team or your sleigh on the road. And the snow was still too deep to get off to the side and make a new one. That used to be a hectic time trying to get anywhere that time of year. You'd tip over, your rack would come off when you was feeding, trying to get out to the feed yards to feed the stock. And I've rolled around and mauled in the snow under the sleigh and under the horses, and horses would get down and couldn't get up, and you'd have to unhook them and get them back on their feet. And it was quite a hectic time. I remember when Dad went to work out at Condon, I was left alone with Mother and the younger girls. And they'd sit up at the house and worry about me. They'd think that I'd be frozen to death. But it seems like when you start out to feed in the fall and you stay out in the weather all winter, you start to get pretty tough. It takes a pretty cold wind and weather to freeze you. But they used to worry a lot about me out trying to feed the stock on a cold, wintry, or blizzardy day. And I remember several times we've tipped over in the school bus when we'd be going or coming from school. We'd all have to roll out and tip the sleigh back up and go on our merry way. But it was a lot of fun. Those were fun days, I guess. Anyway, we seemed to have a lot of fun and enjoy the good along with the bad. When I'd go to open up a new stackyard in the spring of the year, I wouldn't be able to get the team and the sleigh over there the first day, so I'd get on a good stout saddle horse, break a trail over to the stackyard. I'd break a trail one way going over, and then about the width of the sleigh coming back, so I'd really break two trails, and then I'd go around this trail three or four times and get it pretty well tromped down so that the team and the sleigh would have easier going. How would you like to have been with me then, grandsons? Well, I'd like to have had you, but of course I wouldn't have been so young if you'd have been along. Well, along about this time in my life, the ranch had suffered a few reverses due to frosty seasons or drought, poor prices. So Dad was debating about whether he should sell the ranch. And about this time, this new company came into our area and opened up this phosphate mine out at Conda. So Dad went out there one fall and started work, thought he may as well work that winter. And then when it came spring, why, he decided he had a pretty good job and pretty good pay. So he left me on the ranch. Mother and the girls moved out to Conda, and he left me on the ranch to run the ranch until he could decide whether to sell it or not. So I stayed on the ranch that summer and all the next winter and ran the ranch. And then the next spring, why, he sold it. So then I moved out to Conda too, but I took a couple of my good choice saddle horses with me, rented a pasture out there at Conda from Wash Fields, and I kept my saddle horses there, and I'd have a lot of fun riding with my friends and horseback, and once in a while I'd take a girlfriend riding with me too, Now, how do you like that? Well, time went on, and finally, in the spring, it was in the spring of 1923, I was walking down the street one day, and Mr. Nyman, the superintendent, stuck his head out the office door, and he said, "Hey, kid, how'd you like to go to work?" And I said, "Boy, I'd like that." And he says, "Well, come on in here and talk to me, and we'll put you to work." So my first job out at Conda in 1923 was washing dishes up in the cook shack. We were feeding about 75 men up there, and boy, that was a swell job. I was getting $75 a month in my room and my board. Boy, first payday, I thought that I was just a rolling in money. By this time, Vera and Hazel, Orlin and Grace were all married and, of course, living in their homes. And there was just Edith and Helen at home. And, of course, I lived up at the bunkhouse because I was getting my room and my board. But it was nice to have Mom and Dad and the two girls right there in Conda so I could go down and visit with them and enjoy their company and association. We had a lot of good times together. Our first home in Conda was a two-room tent. It was had a wooden floor and had a hydrant in one corner of the room. And all the facilities, the toilet facilities, were outside, of course. But we thought that was a pretty nice place to live. And I washed dishes at the cook shack all that summer and the next winter. And the next spring, due to my experience with horses, and I'd had previous experience with a construction company one summer is when they built the siding to the stockyards there in Soda Springs. I hired out to them with a four-horse team, the Fresno, and then all my experience on the ranch with horses, I was a pretty good horseman, so Mr. Nyman put me in charge of the mules and the horses that they had there at Conda. At that time, they didn't have any trucks. So all the hauling and everything, they had to haul and running around with the team in the wagon. Why, that was my job for that summer. I did that all that one summer. And then I went to work in the mill. And after I'd worked at the mill for about a year, my mother and dad, one fall they offered to send me back to school so that I could further my education. They were kind and considerate of me. But of course, by then I'd been on my own, making my own money for quite a while, and I wanted to be independent, and I didn't feel like it was right for them to spend their money and send me back to school. So I didn't go to school. I just kept right on working. So the extent of my schooling was ended with about 2 years of high school. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to you boys, because an education is a fine thing, and many times in my life I've wished that I had furthered my education. However, I've always enjoyed my work at Conda, made a lot of good friends, and we had a lot of fun, and I always had a little bit of money to spend and some good clothes to wear. So I don't feel that the world owes me anything. In fact, I owe a lot to a lot of good people and to my parents and to my family. They would have free picture shows twice a week in Conduct at the recreation hall. And we'd always go to these movies and have a lot of fun. And of course, by then I was kind of looking around at the pretty girls too, and we had a lot of fun. It's nice warm summer nights, we'd go up the canyon, play Run Sheep Run, and have lots of fun together. Then we'd come into Soda Springs on a bus and go to dances. Now, just to show you, it takes about, I guess it would take about 30, 40 minutes to drive from Conda to Grace, Idaho. In this day, but back in those days, some of us fellows got acquainted with some of those cute little Grace girls. And so once in a while we'd go down to Grace when they were having a big dance. And in the wintertime, in order for us to get from Conda to Grace, we would come in from Conda to Soda Springs on the stage. And then at Soda Springs, we'd get on a little railroad train. They called it the Ping Pong. It ran between Pocatello and Montpelier. And we'd get on the Ping Pong at Soda and go to Alexander. And at Alexander, we'd leave the train and get on another stage and go to Grace. Well, we'd go to the dance that night in Grace. Then we'd stay overnight in Grace, and the next morning we'd get on the stage and come back to Alexander, catch the ping pong to Soda Springs, then the stage out to Conda. So it took us 2 days to get from Conda to Grace to go to a dance. What do you think of that? About this time, the company started building some houses in Conda for their employees. And, of course, as soon as these houses were finished, my dad moved into one. It was just across the street from where the store is now. And boy, we really felt good to get in a brand new home and have all the indoor facilities and modern conveniences. And too, about this time, Conda had been a branch of the Meadowville ward, but Conda was growing fast now, and so they made a ward out of Conda, and Meadowville was a branch of the Conda ward. And I was put in as secretary in the Young Men's Mutual. And I also was secretary of the Sunday School. And I got to working with the scouts. And I was assistant scoutmaster. So I started to work in the church quite a little bit and enjoyed that very much. And kind of got gospel-minded and attending to church duties as that I should have done long before. But I hadn't really had too many opportunities for church living out on the ranch, and the way travel was. We wouldn't go much in the winter time. We'd go in the summer when we could drive the team conveniently in nice weather. But now that Conda was a ward, boy, there was lots of opportunity for going to church. And And I enjoyed that very much. And I especially enjoyed our mutual recreation hour. After classes, we'd have a recreation hour, and boy, we'd sure make that old community recreation hall hum with merriment. We'd play lots of games. We'd dance. There was quite a few cute little girls around Conda about that time. And the school had two teachers at that time. And some of them little teachers, you know, were kind of cute. And we'd get them to coming to Mutual. We'd have a lot of fun in Conda. Conda was a real nice place. We were just like one great big family. We didn't settle down to just any one girl. We were all friends. All the girls and the boys would mix together, and we'd just have fun together as a group. Those Conda days were certainly enjoyable. And then, along about 26, there was a beautiful young stenographer come to work for Mr. Nyman. I remember about the first time I got a close-up look at her, Herb Pember and I were standing out in front of the bunkhouse. This classy young gal come walking up the street from the office to on her way to the kitchen to get her dinner. She had on a nice big fur wrapped around her neck and a muff to put her hands in to keep them warm. It was in the winter time, and Herb nudged me as she went by. Says, "How'd you like to snuggle up in that fur with that little gal?" I said, "Oh, I don't think so. She looks to be too highfalutin' for me." Well, little did I know at that time that later that little highfalutin', sweet-looking little girl would be my wife. Now, what do you think about that? Cars in those days weren't too numerous, but along about this time, I bought me a new car. It was a Star. Oh, it was a nice little car. And you know, cars weren't too plentiful, so a fellow that had a car was quite popular with his friends. And I had a lot of fun with my friends. We'd go places and have picnics and go to dances and do a lot of things that kids do, you know. I'd take my parents, they didn't have a car. I'd take them places when they wanted to go somewhere to visit some of their relatives. They used to take them down to Spring City to see Grandma and Grandpa Nielsen and their family down there. And I took them up to Moore, Idaho to see some of the mother's people up there. And I'd take them up through the park, and we just had a wonderful time because I had my car. Of course, Dad didn't have a car, so I'd furnish the car and he'd furnish the money, so we got along pretty well. And then, through having this car, I'd gather up a bunch of friends in the evenings and take them for a ride. And once in a while, this cute little stenographer would be among the bunch, and we'd go riding, and so I got pretty well acquainted with her. But I come to find out that she was engaged to another fella. But anyway, she was lonely up there in Conda, you know, and her boyfriend was clear over there in Pocatello, so I'd go over to her cabin in the evenings and just keep her company, cheer her up, and she'd sit there and we'd visit and talk, and she'd be sewing on her trousseau because she was going to get married to this other guy. And I thought how lucky that guy was going to be to get this cute little stenographer. But I was her friend, and she was my friend, and it was only right that I would keep her company, you know, so that she wouldn't get too lonesome. Sow as ye sow, so shall ye reap. There's always a good, pleasant, wonderful feeling comes from doing good. I recall me and my friends had planned a picnic on a certain Sunday, and I was to meet them in front of the Enders Hotel at a certain time this Sunday morning. So I left Conda to go to Soda Springs and meet my friends. And as I approached that lane that turns west to go over to Hooper Springs, it occurred to me that I hadn't seen an elderly couple for quite some time. And this couple, when we lived on the ranch, they used to think the world of me. They thought that I was a pretty darn good kid because I'd go over there and help them with their chores sometimes, and when when Billy wouldn't be feeling very good, I'd even go over sometimes, and he had just a small farm, little small acreage, but he put up a little hay and he cut a little grain, and I'd go over there sometimes and help him put up his hay and help him with his grain and other chores, and they thought that I was a pretty swell boy. I thought a lot of them too, because she had a cookie jar too, and she'd give me cookies and things when I was a kid on the ranch. But anyway, as I was approaching this lane, I thought I should run over there and see Billy and Rosa. And then I thought, no, the gang's waiting for me down there, and so I better not. But when I come to this lane, that car, for some reason or other, just turned and went down this lane. So I drove over to their house, and oh my, they were glad to see me. They come out there and they threw their arms around me and hugged me and kissed me, and we had a nice little visit, and they made me feel so good that I knew that they didn't get a chance to ride in an automobile very often, and I knew that they loved soda water and liked to enjoy the scenery along the countryside, and so I invited them to get in the car and we'd take a little ride. So we went over to Hooper and visited that spring and had a nice drink of soda water, and we went on up the road a ways, what used to be Corrigan's place up on Soda Creek above Soda. There used to be another little spring up in there that was real good water. When we farmed that land, why, we'd always use that spring for our soda water, for our drinking water when we were harvesting or working in the fields. So we drove over in there and we sampled this little spring, and then we drove on up to the Mammoth Spring up in George Smith's place, and we went out to the Mammoth Spring. At that time there used to be a boardwalk as Jerry can recall, that boardwalk has been removed. Remember that, Jerry? Well, anyway, we visited that spring, and then I took him for a ride, and we took a road that went east, and went over and joined in onto the highway that goes to Henry. So I went on there, and we drove around and come back down, and took the Hooper Road again and come back to their place. I guess, I spent an hour and a half with them. But I was so thrilled to see them, and they were so pleased to see me, and we enjoyed our visit and our ride so much that when I went merrily on my way in to pick up my friends, they were kind of aggravated with me because I'd kept them waiting about an hour and a half, and I told them that I just couldn't help it. I got delayed. I never did tell them what I had done. But you know, we went on that picnic that day and we had a good time. But I'll bet you that I had the most fun of any of them because there was such a good feeling in my heart for this kindly act that I had done that day to this elderly couple. So you see, I wasn't always all bad. I had a little bit of good in me. Can you understand that? Well, time marches on, as it always does. And along, I think it was in 28, when this cute little stenographer left Conda. I felt bad to see her leave because we were pretty good friends. But anyway, she left Conda. And pretty soon, though, I sort of took up with another little girl, one of the little school marms out there, and she kind of filled the gap, the empty spot that I had in my life. And so I enjoyed her company, and we got along fine, and had lots of fun. And time passed, and this cute little stenographer would write me a letter once in a while, and in one of her letters she mentioned the fact that her and this boyfriend had split up, and the fall of 29 she wrote me a letter and said that she would like to come back to Soda Springs and visit some of the old friends. Wanted to know if I could meet the train when it arrived in Soda Springs. Of course, I was very happy to do this. So I met the train, and of course, I took her out to our place out at Conda, and she stayed there with us. She was welcome in the family. Mother and Dad and all of them had known her when she was working there at Conda. Thought she was a pretty nice girl. And so she done a lot of visiting around Conda and Soda Springs among old friends. And of course I was her taxi, more or less. And so we kind of renewed our acquaintance. And one evening we took a drive out to the old Henry Stampede Park, and we parked there under a big cedar tree, and it was there that I convinced her that she should propose to me. And a few nights later, up in a theater in Pocatello, I slipped on the ring, and I became her best fellow. But it was to be a lengthy engagement, because by this time she had been called on a mission to the Western States, and she was to leave about Christmas time of that year, 1929. And so I wished her well, and when the time came, I took her to Salt Lake to enter the mission home. And we said our farewells there. So then I returned back to Conda, and feeling pretty heavy in heart, thinking it would be 2 long years before I'd see Golda again. But the time went by, and during this 2 years that she was on her mission, we were entering into this depression, and Conda had a big layoff, and of course she laid the single fellows off first, so as the married men could have employment and have support for their families. So us single fellows just jobbed around the country where we could find a job in the harvest or whatever we could do. And so that's the way the time went. And of course, not having a steady job, my funds were kind of short. So by